to stream and download where you get yours. Still to come, Dermot O'Leary is going to be here in about 20 minutes time. We're going to be playing Beat the Commentator with John Murray, and Gemma Hayes is in the Five Live Lounge. All after your latest news and sport. It's 10 o'clock.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
With the BBC News on 5 Live, I'm Giuliano Cazaday. The breaking news this hour, Israel says it's killed the leader of Hezbollah in a strike on their headquarters in southern Beirut. Hezbollah have yet to respond, but sources say the group had lost contact with its leader since yesterday's attack. Our correspondent John Donison is in Jerusalem.
The Israeli military has confirmed that Hassan Nasrallah has been eliminated, to use their term, and I think it's a hugely significant and dangerous moment. Israel has vowed to defeat Hezbollah. It is in effect now at war with Hezbollah and taking out its leader, who has been in charge of the powerful Iranian-backed militia group in Lebanon for decades, is really worrying. I mean, I think up until this point, Israel has made the calculation that Iran, who backs, funds, founded Hezbollah, is not ready to get directly involved in a full-scale war with Israel. But the killing of Hassan Nasrallah is going to put that theory to the test. All morning, we've had barrages of rockets being fired out of southern Lebanon, and just after the moment when the confirmation from Israel's side saying that Hassan Nasrallah has been killed, we heard explosions pretty close to where we are here in Jerusalem. Just on the skyline behind me, we saw what looked like a Hezbollah rocket being shot down by Israel's missile defense system. That's something we've not seen in Jerusalem in the last few weeks. So it does seem that Hezbollah is pushing forward now, launching rockets further into Israel. Whether that is in direct response to what Israel has said about the killing of Hassan Nasrallah, we don't know, but certainly the next few hours and days are going to be very concerning.
That's our correspondent John Donison, who's in Jerusalem. In the last few minutes, the IDF's chief of staff, Lieutenant General Hirsi Halevi, has put out a video message. I'll share some of the quotes from that video. He says, "The message is very clear. Whoever threatens Israeli citizens, we know how to get them in the north, south or further away." He goes on to say, in the end, after a lot of preparation, the Israeli military activated their plan in Lebanon to target Nasrallah and Hezbollah's headquarters in a strike. He says it was the right time. We did it in a very precise way. This is not the end of our toolbox. We have to be very clear. We have more capacity going forward. Our security correspondent, Frank Gardner, has been following events in Lebanon.
This is huge. There's no question about it. This is Israel throwing down the gauntlet to Iran, basically saying, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. We're going to take apart this militant organization that Iran has built on their northern border. And this has repercussions throughout the whole Middle East, because Hezbollah is bigger than just Lebanon. It's been fighting in Syria in support of President Bashar al-Assad against an insurgency there. It's trained fighters in Iraq, in Yemen, and around the Middle East. It is Iran's sort of means of projecting the Iranian Islamic Revolution around the Middle East and even beyond. Hezbollah's even accused of terrorist activities abroad. It's a proscribed terrorist organization. But Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, or Said Hassan Nasrallah, as people called him, he is revered by many Shia Muslims. He's disliked by pretty much all the Sunni Arab governments, but he's revered by a lot of people, and there will be calls for revenge. The key question now is, how is Iran going to react to this? Because this is Israel saying, right, the gloves are off. You know, they targeted a building where they knew he was. It was underneath, it was in a residential area, and there were several senior commanders with him. Systematically, Hezbollah's entire command structure is being dismantled.
That's our security correspondent, Frank Gardner, who's following events in Lebanon. Updates on Five Live throughout the morning. Some other news headlines for you. Officials in Ukraine say Russian airstrikes on a medical facility in the northeast of the country have killed 7 people. At least 12 people were seriously injured. And the rapper Sean Combs, otherwise known as Diddy, has been accused of drugging and sexually assaulting a woman in another lawsuit filed in New York. The 12th and latest accuser alleges that after she became pregnant, she was harassed by one of his associates to have an abortion and later miscarried. I'll just recap our main story this morning. Breaking news this hour that Israel says it's killed the leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah. For the latest updates, you can listen to the BBC News live audio stream on BBC Sounds, or you can follow events online on the live page of the BBC News website. Those are your news headlines. Nick has the sport now.
Thank you. The World Anti-Doping Agency has appealed to the Court of Arbitration for Sport against an independent tribunal's decision in August to clear world number one Yannick Sinner of wrongdoing after he failed drug tests. WADA said the tribunal's finding of no fault or negligence was not correct under the applicable rules and that it would seek a period of ineligibility of between 1 and 2 years for Sinner, who won both the Australian Open and the US Open this year. Plenty more to read about this on the BBC Sport website. Newcastle manager Eddie Howe has warned his side not to expect a weakened Manchester City when they face the champions at St James's Park this lunchtime. City will be without influential midfielder Rodri, who's set to miss the rest of the season with an ACL injury. And from 5:15 on Five Sports Extra this evening, you can listen to the Super League elimination playoff between Warrington and St Helens.
On BBC iPlayer.
Marcus Calderwood identified me before he died.
Why did he identify you?
I don't know.
A cop who smashed his car into a guy trying to save the planet.
Allegedly, he's still entitled to a defence.
I don't think we should touch this.
Starring Michael Socker and Adil Akhtar.
Before we go to court, is there anything I need to know?
The new series of Show Trial.
I'm Officer X.
Watch all episodes from next Sunday on BBC iPlayer.
This is Five Live.
Saturday morning with Patrick Kilty.
Welcome back, folks. It's the second hour of the show. We're here until 11 o'clock when Josh Whittaker will be in the chair for Fight and Talk. We have Dermot O'Leary hot-footing it from his Radio 2 show. He's going to be chatting to us in about 10 minutes' time. Keep your texts coming in. Now, this is a lovely text, but it's kind of how you don't do it. Morning, Paddy. Me and my dad are travelling from Watford to Sunderland. Then he's driving me back to Liverpool after the match before heading home. He is my forever designated driver. I love you, Dad. No name on the text, no name of the dad. So that's how you almost get there, if you think you can do better than that. 0805-909-693 on the WhatsApp. Keep them coming, folks. But now, it is time to find out who knows most about football. Is it Five Lives football correspondent, or is it a 13-year-old listener? Let's meet the commentator who our young challenger is going to be taking on this morning.
Beat the commentator.
Good morning, John Murray. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Paddy. How are you?
I am all the better for hearing you, John, and I'm also quite impressed that your voice sounds a lot more woken up than Ian Dennis's voice did an hour ago.
Is that right? I have to say, I didn't hear him. Hey, listen, I've been out and about this morning. I'm actually in Birmingham, and I've already been inside Birmingham Cathedral this morning, which I've never been inside before. And it's absolutely stunning, so I would recommend that to anyone.
How many Wolves fans were inside the cathedral lighting candles today for the 5:30 perhaps, kickoff against Liverpool?
Perhaps ill-advisedly, none of them.
Oh.
So, I was the only one in there, but you're absolutely right. It's very difficult to mount a case for Wolves. Now, I actually spoke to a couple of Wolves fans this week who were very, very gloomy about things. If I'm looking for crumbs of comfort,
yes,
they have. I don't think that they're a team of players who should be bottom of the Premier League. Yeah, I think they're better than this. And I think they've got a bit about them going forward. But as people might know, they've had a sickness bug. They've got serious injuries in defence, and they're up against a Liverpool team who in the main have looked pretty good in the early days under Arne Slot, haven't they?
Oh, dear, oh dear. Yeah, I'm gonna, yes, they have. Okay, I've just said it. I've said it. Liverpool are looking good. Gary O'Neill, great manager. The words "under pressure" are written on this screen. Really?
Well, I'm doing my notes this morning, and I've just made a note of the fact that if they do lose this game against Liverpool, and obviously they are very much the underdogs, even though it's going to be played at Molineux, that would be 12 defeats in their last 18 Premier League matches. So 12 defeats out of 18. That doesn't sound good. But listen, they just gave him a new contract, you know, a matter of weeks ago. So the hierarchy at the club must be confident that he's the guy who is going to be able to eventually turn things around here. You know, that's the only conclusion that you can make from that. That's a statement of support for him to do that. So we'll see.
Was he in the cathedral this morning?
No, he wasn't.
He
was not there. No.
What's your plan for the rest of the day now that you have the grace of God bestowed upon you, John?
I've just got to finish my notes this morning and my preparation for it, and then I'll be making my way over to Wolverhampton this afternoon in good time.
Amazing, amazing. This is, if Ian Dennis is listening, this is how you do it. This is how you, I said to Ian, when do you start talking to people on the day of a match to get you the timbre and the tone of your voice up to the proper speed and tone to go on the radio at 3 o'clock? He said, 5 to 3.
Listen, he is much better organized than I. He is a surprisingly well organized man, and he actually gets his preparation done early, unlike me. I'm very much a leave it till the last moment.
Leave it to the last moment. Light a candle in a cathedral and hope it goes well.
Hope it goes well.
Okay. Well, look, we're going to find out who knows more about today's game. Is it you or is it a 13-year-old listener from Belfast? Let's say good morning to your challenger. I'm delighted to welcome Rachel Kirkpatrick. Good morning, Rachel.
Morning, Patrick.
Oh, how you getting on, Rachel?
Good. I just woke up though, so quite tired.
Look, I mean, that's fine. What were you up to last night? Were you out partying?
I was actually at my football training and then watching my sister's match.
Nice, nice. And how did the sisters' team do?
They won 3-2.
Okay. So you were at football training last night. How serious do you take that? Do you do the ice bath and all that good stuff afterwards, Rachel?
No, sadly not.
Sadly not. I'm seeing on the screen here the terrible news of who you support. Who's your team?
Liverpool.
Dear, oh dear. And your prediction for today's match against the mighty Wolves?
I think that Liverpool will win like 3-1 because they're like...
Okay, so you think that Wolves will actually score?
Yeah, if they're lucky.
Grand. So you play a bit of football, you've told us. Any other sports in your life?
Yeah, I also play hockey, squash, and I do some running.
Nice. Is hockey the favourite, football the favourite?
Hockey's definitely the favourite.
Okay, hockey's the favourite. I hear you met someone who is famous, but you didn't know is famous.
Yeah, James Nesbitt.
Where did you meet James?
I met him at a wee restaurant on Port Rush.
Because he hangs out up in Port Rush. And was he talking the usual nonsense that he talks?
So it was like, I didn't know he was famous. And then I was like talking about my football and he was just kind of listening on, thinking we were playing like Peter Pan, the Netherlands.
Yeah. And at what point then did James tell you that he was a big deal? Because, you know, he likes to do that at a certain point.
He didn't. It was my mum that told me afterwards. And I was like, what?
There you go. There you go. What's your mum's name?
Una McClure.
There you go. Shout out to Una. Okay, look, you're going to be playing against John Murray today. Who knows more about the game? Rachel, you sound like you know your stuff. On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you in confidence?
I think I'm breaking the scale, actually.
So we're going for 11 out of 10, is that right?
Uh-huh.
John Murray, the gauntlet has been thrown down. Yeah, how confident are you?
And has been accepted. Yeah, my record's improving. So
yes.
So yeah, want to be careful.
Okay, John Murray. That's John's very polite way of saying he is 11 out of 10 as well. Let's play Beat the Commentator. Okay, here's how it works, Rachel. We're going to ask John all three questions. He's going to answer them. We're going to mark his homework and see if you've managed to beat the commentator today. Off you go.
Okay. So question one is, today's Premier League fixture between Wolves and Liverpool will take place at the Molyneux Stadium. But what is the name of the pub that was knocked down outside the ground in 2014? Was it A,
right, okay,
the Lone Wolf, or was it B, the Wanderer?
The Lone Wolf or the Wanderer, which pub is no more outside Molyneux?
I think I used to park in a pub outside Molyneux, and I think the Lone Wolf is still there. I think it's still there, so I'm going to go for the Wanderer.
Okay, John Murray pretending he has no knowledge of pubs outside football grounds. He has guessed the Wanderer. We're going to lock that in. Question number two, Rachel.
Okay, question two. Wolverhampton Wanderers are known as Wolves and the Old Gold, but where was the oldest collection of gold discovered? Was it A, Bulgaria, or B, Belarus?
This is a great question, and I believe it's very relevant to today's game, Rachel. Thank you for this important question. The oldest collection of gold, was it in Bulgaria or Belarus?
So Belarus, that would have probably been part of old Russia, wouldn't it, when this was... So I'm going to go Belarus, I think.
Okay, you're going to go Belarus. Okay, you're going for B. Question three, Rachel.
Okay, question three. Liverpool head coach Arnie Slot celebrated his 46th birthday last week. But what special dessert did the team organise for Arnie's big day? Was it A, a personalised giant cookie? Or was it B, a tiramisu?
What a question.
I think that it would be more likely, and I really love tiramisu, so I'm leaning towards it for that reason. I think tiramisu would be a better present, wouldn't it, than a big cookie?
You say so, that it could be a comedy giant cookie with Arnie Slot's face on it.
It could have been, but I think if it had, I think that would have been widely shared. So I think I'm going to go tiramisu.
Okay, you're going for tiramisu. We're going to lock that in. You've gone B. John Murray pretending there's some type of strategy. He's just gone B. Okay, let's correct your homework. We'll start. We'll do them in reverse order. Here we go. Question three. Arnie Slot, special dessert for his 46th birthday. Did the team organise a giant cookie or a tiramisu? Rachel, John Murray said tiramisu. The correct answer is...
a tiramisu.
Yes, of course it was. He's a man of the world, Arnie Slot. Of course he went tiramisu.
Of course he did. Okay. Question two. Old gold. Wolves, of course, are known as the old gold, but what was the oldest collection of gold? Where was it discovered? Bulgaria or Belarus? You went for Belarus. The correct answer, Rachel, is...
Bulgaria.
In 1970s.
What's the story there?
Archaeologists made the stunning discovery in the Bulgarian city of Varna. Let me see. The oldest gold treasure in the world was discovered there.
Well.
A necropolis containing the oldest gold. It's down to this. It's a question on pubs. John Murray, which pub was knocked down outside the Molyneux Stadium? Was it the Lone Wolf or the Wanderer? For the win, John Murray has gone for the Wanderer. Rachel, the correct answer is...
The Wanderer.
Oh! Yes.
Dear, oh dear.
I was confident. I'm pretty sure that I think the Lone Wolf is still very much still there.
Yes.
So, yeah.
When you say you parked in the pub, do you mean you actually had a car and that was parked outside the pub, or was it your bottom on a stool in the pub, John?
Well, you used to have to go into the pub to pay them at the bar for parking in the car park. I once got a puncture in that car park.
Yes.
I think it was on New Year's Eve, possibly. Anyway, so there we are.
Memories flooding back, which managed to get you the win today. Rachel, such good questions.
Yeah,
John
great,
Murray.
Great questions.
Are we allowed to say he was lucky, Rachel? What do you think?
He beat me today, but not anywhere else.
Yeah.
You make your own luck,
Rachel.
There you go. I love that the fight and talk has now begun after the results in a kind of a Erling Haaland, Mikel Arteta type way. Let's hope nobody hits somebody in the back of a head with a football.
Stay humble. That's the lesson.
Rachel, tell us what you're up to for the rest of the day. Is it footy or hockey?
Well, no footy or hockey today, but I am going out to see my friends.
There you go. Enjoy that, Rachel, and thank you so, so much for playing Beat the Commentator today. If you want to challenge one of our five live commentators, give us a shout. Text 85058 WhatsApp 08085909693 or email patrick@bbc.co.uk.
Ride with me, boy, on my Palomino, racing through gray skies.
Beautiful sound of Gemma Hayes. She's going to be here in half an hour. She'll be taking your football chants and turning them into a thing of beauty. If you have any Five Live chants that you would like her to take on, 0805 909 693.
Oh, it's getting hot in here. Must be something in the atmosphere. Oh, could be laughing about it. Making the most of the true British climate. Oh, it's getting hot in here. Must be something in the atmosphere. Oh, 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 oh.
The sound of Athletic. You've got the style. He has got the style. Was this your first dance, Dermot O'Leary?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty well, thanks. It was our first dance.
Yeah.
And we got to know the Athletic boys quite well back in the day, and they came and they played our wedding.
Amazing.
And they were like, they came on, they were like, just to let you know, guys, A, we've broken up, but B, we're not a wedding band. So we are just getting because we're friends. And they came, oh God, it was brilliant. They're such good lads. And actually, like, they're really good writers and producers now as well. So, Joel, for example, writes a lot with George Ezra. So he's written a lot of the last two George Ezra albums, I think. They're all doing really well.
Dermot, don't be trying to culturally raise the level of this show above what it normally is.
I was quite traumatised by commentators beating up on little children. So I just thought,
look, you say that, Dermot. Sometimes what happens is the children actually win that, and it's a joyous item.
I love John Murray as well. The voice of kind of sweet moderation for the most part.
For sweet moderation. So this is what happens when you know somebody and someone's a mate. I haven't even done your intro. My next guest.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Is a certified.
I'm the same. You just fall into it, don't you, when you know someone?
I'm going to give you the intro.
Oh, yeah, cool.
My next guest is a certified national treasure from X Factor to Comic Relief to This Morning.
Well, maybe a bit true.
An award winning host, NTAs, BAFTAs. Oh. Sony's. He has just run from his Radio 2 show to run off all of the food he has eaten in his new show, Dermot's Taste of Ireland.
That took a while.
Which you can watch on ITVX and the STV player right now. If conquering TV and radio isn't enough. He's the best-selling author of Toto the Ninja Cat series, Wings of Glory, and his latest kids' book is called Spy Fox and Agent Feathers.
Well, could you do my eulogy?
It's out now.
When it eventually happens, if I go before you, will you do my eulogy? Because that was lovely.
I think there's a very, very slim chance that you'll be going before me, Dermot, based on your lifestyle.
And based on my stress levels.
So first of all, sorry I couldn't make your event. You had an event in the London Irish Centre this week.
Yeah.
How much crack was that?
Wonderful. So every year we try to put on a night, Dermot and Friends. The London Irish Centre, for those that don't know, obviously it is what it says in the tin. There's a couple of London Irish Centres in London. This one's in Camden. And so it deals with a lot of, I mean, across the board, really. It's there for two reasons, both to help local people of Irish descent, but I always say it's from the Irish and for the Irish, but also from the Irish. So they don't turn anyone away. And all different age levels. So you'd think that the era of kind of boys coming off the boat with a couple of €100 in their pockets thinking they come to the land of milk and honey is over, but it kind of isn't. And these incredible pensioners who came over, who helped build the city after the Second World War, who are now some of whom in sort of need of help. So it's this incredible place that does so much stuff. And then you've got the culture as well. So we put on a fundraiser every year, and it's just called Dermot and Friends. And I just invite, I curate it with a couple of people there, and we just invite artists down. They kind of do one of their own songs, and then they'll do a cover or a folk or Americana or an Irish song or whatever. And yeah, we did really well. We had a great night.
What time did you wrap up?
Well, we had to wrap up quite early, but I left while the party was still going, but I had a babysitter to kind of high five on the way out and apologize for being an hour late for. So, I got home about 12:30, but they weren't going anywhere. My agent was great, Jadeen. She was there with me, and it was the first or second time she'd been, and she turned around to me and went, "The Irish really don't care about getting home, do they?"
No.
Yeah, I think it ended up being quite righteous.
So look, we talked about London, we talked about Irish. That is essentially you, it's who you are. Taste of Ireland was you going from London back to Ireland. Did you get paid for this job? Because this job to me,
it was one of the great swindles of my life that I got paid for this job. So my story, right, is that I my parents came over, settled in London, and then moved to Essex kind of before I was born. So I had this really kind of strange, almost three-part upbringing of a small but quite healthy Irish community in Colchester, which is where I grew up, which involved around Mass and the local hotel where one of the guys who went to Mass worked. So we always would end up going there. And a very kind of classic second-generation upbringing in the very normal English kind of countryside, beautiful part of the world, Colchester, you know, that kind of North Essex, South Suffolk border, all that countryside and the lovely coastline near there. And then you'd shut the door and you'd sort of be in a version of Ireland at home with the picture of the Pope on the mantelpiece and all of that. And then every weekend or second weekend, we'd go up to London, see my Irish family up there. And then every summer, it would be back to Ireland in Wexford. So this show got pitched to me and it was kind of like, where do I sign? Right. But I was quite specific. I said, look, I don't want to, if it's like me going back and kissing a Blarney Stone, I'm kind of not interested because it's just a bit boring and lazy and everyone's, you know, riddly diddly dee. But if it's going back and actually looking at Ireland and its history and its food, then then yeah, I really want to do it. And so I had this great, so it was kind of a voyage of nostalgia in that that part of it was rooted in Wexford. And then we had four or five other parts where we went to Kinsale, Cork, Dublin, Belfast, and talked about the Irish story through the food. And sort of, and both its traditional side and also where it's going as a country as well. So you're right. I mean, it was a very easy, all those shows every now and again fall in your lap and you go, yeah, I can do that. And it's, I had the best, we shot it in May, at the best time.
And your mum and dad, of course, they live in Wexford. So it was that thing you were sitting going, how can I get someone to pay for the holiday that I'm going to go to Ireland to take to see the family? Anyway. I mean, it is absolutely genius. We're going to be talking more about Dermot's Taste of Ireland after the news. We're going to be talking Arsenal. We're going to be talking Spy Fox and the Agent Feathers, which is out now. I want to know whether that fox is based on one of the foxes which runs past our house. Maybe it is. Okay, more from Dermot after the news and sport. It is 10:30.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
With the BBC News on 5 Live, I'm Giuliano Cazaday. The Israeli military says it's killed the leader of Hezbollah in a strike on the Iranian-backed group's headquarters in Beirut. Hezbollah has yet to confirm the claim. Here's our security correspondent, Frank Gardner.
This is huge. There's no question about it. This is Israel throwing down the gauntlet to Iran, basically saying, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. We're going to take apart this militant organization that Iran has built on their northern border. And this has repercussions throughout the whole Middle East because Hezbollah is bigger than just Lebanon. It's been fighting in Syria in support of President Bashar al-Assad against an insurgency there. It's trained fighters in Iraq, in Yemen, and around the Middle East. It is Iran's sort of means of projecting the Iranian Islamic Revolution around the Middle East. And even beyond, Hezbollah's even accused of activities, terrorist activities abroad. It's a proscribed terrorist organization. But Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, or Said Hassan Nasrallah, as people called him, he is revered by many Shia Muslims, and there will be calls for revenge. The key question now is, how is Iran going to react to this? Because this is Israel saying, right, the gloves are off.
That's our security correspondent Frank Gardner responding to the breaking news that Israel claims it's killed the leader of Hezbollah. Elsewhere, the Israeli military says that it's attacking targets in the Bekaa Valley this morning after detecting a rocket fired from Lebanon. Lebanon's health ministry has ordered hospitals in Beirut and its surrounding area to prepare to evacuate the suburbs' hospitals and receive their patients. As I said before, updates throughout the day here on 5 Live to this breaking news. You can also follow it online on the BBC News website. Sport now with Nick Hatton.
Thank you. The World Anti-Doping Agency has appealed against the decision not to ban Yannick Sinner for testing positive for Clostebol. WADA is hoping the men's world number one tennis player will be banned for between 1 and 2 years following a hearing at the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Our tennis correspondent Russell Fuller reports.
The World Anti-Doping Agency believes an independent tribunal's decision that Sinner bore no fault or negligence was incorrect under the rules. Sinner twice tested positive for the anabolic agent in March, but the tribunal accepted his samples were contaminated by a hand spray used by his physio, freeing him to play and win the US Open. WADA's statement suggests it is not questioning Sinner's explanation, but does believe he shares some of the blame. This could take many months to resolve, as the Court of Arbitration has quite a backlog of cases.
You can read plenty more about this on the BBC Sport website. Elsewhere, Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola says they will just have to learn how to cope without their big players. It's after the loss of Rodri for the season, the Spaniard suffering an ACL injury in the 2-2 draw at home to Arsenal last weekend. While Kevin De Bruyne is again unavailable because of a minor groin issue, whilst Oscar Bob and Nathan Ake also still sidelined for this lunchtime's game away at Newcastle. And Guardiola knows it's a tough time to be losing someone as influential as Rodri.
Of course, we are stronger with him. We are stronger with Nathan Ake. He's now playing since arrived for international break. We are stronger with Oscar Bob and all the injuries with Kevin, and we know that, but it's what it is. So we don't want it, but it, football happened, and it's a pity because it's a long injury, and of course, it's 8-9 months.
And we'll bring you updates from St James's Park in Five Live Sport. It gets underway at midday. We're off to the Emirates for commentary of Arsenal versus Leicester from 3 o'clock. The Gunners have only conceded three times in the Premier League this season, with the defensive partnership between Gabriel and William Saliba coming in for plenty of praise. Here's their manager, Mikel Arteta.
Well, in terms of chemistry, that existed from day one, and you cannot really contribute to that. You can try to support it, someday you can even force it if you want, but that was so organic and so natural. That's the best part of that. And then the fact that obviously they have qualities that they complement each other really well, and we have to use them in the right way.
We'll bring a commentary of Liverpool's trip to Wolves from 5:30. And Warrington take on St Helens tonight in the second eliminator of the Super League playoffs. The Wolves finishing third in the table. They've won the three previous meetings between the two sides this season, but the Saints coach Paul Wellens says that counts for nothing tonight.
It's one game of rugby over 80 minutes and two very good teams going at it. You know, big games are often settled by fine margins. You know, we understand and, you know, Sam's played in enough big games himself to understand what this looks like. There's a number of players within their squad who've done the same, and it's very similar with ourselves, so we understand the situation we're in. And again, it's one that excites us.
And you can hear commentary of that on Five Sports Extra from 5:15.
Football on BBC Radio 5 Live.
Listen to exclusive live commentaries from the Premier League, Champions League and more with the 5 Live Sport team.
For 10 seconds, thank you very much.
Stay on top of everything football every day with the Football Daily Podcast.
This is the best central defensive partnership in European football.
His confidence levels are through the roof.
Football on 5 Live.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
Saturday morning with Patrick Keelty.
And we're back. We're here until 11 o'clock on 5 Live. The mighty Dermot O'Leary is still with us. Joel and Olivia say, give us a wee shout out, Paddy. We're currently painting the nursery with you on. I'm assuming I'm on the radio. I'm not been painted
on. You're the painting.
On.
That'd be so nice.
I mean, that would...
The poor child.
Yeah.
He's just not sleeping well. I don't quite know why.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're confusing a picture of me to put them to sleep or listening to me on the radio. That would put them to sleep. Dean says, please say hello to my partner, Flo. Okay, Dermot, you can tell us whether Dean's in trouble with this. I promised her a trip to IKEA tomorrow, but yeah. I got last minute tickets to United Spurs. I mean,
it's the one fixture I genuinely don't know who to cheer for, you know, United Spurs. I even went to a United Spurs game once and I sat there and went, why do I feel, I just feel numb.
Yes. I mean, like every other Man United fan watching United. So
I would say, hang on, what's the dilemma?
So it's basically IKEA or watching United's flat pack four, back four.
You've got to go to the game.
You've got to go to the game.
You have to go to the game.
Sorry about that.
Meatballs and hot dogs next week.
There you go. Okay, that is Flo.
But you have to make recompense. You can't just go to the game without impunity.
Are you going to the game Arsenal-Leicester City at 3 p.m. that we have live commentary on 5 Live today?
Not today. No, I've got a friend's birthday that I have to go to. So...
The look on Dermot O'Leary's face as he said, I have a friend's birthday. The eyes.
Do you know what, actually? Saturday's 3 o'clock a heart because I've got a 4-year-old who
I know.
You know, I kind of want to see and hang out with. And yeah, you've met him.
I know. And
he does not respect Saturday's 3 o'clock.
Is there any inkling that he could be sitting beside you at an Arsenal game soon, or is he still at that level where he's just. I'm not interested.
No, he will definitely be up for it quite soon.
Yes.
What I don't think he'll be doing anytime soon is playing for Arsenal.
our eldest boy still thinks there's a chance that he'll be a goalkeeper for Man United. And who knows?
Who knows?
What I never
understand is how they know, how football scouts and coaches know. Mm. Like when they go, they were let go when they were 9. I'm like, what are you talking about? how can you tell when they're 9?
Dermot's new show on the tally box. Dermot's Taste of Ireland.
Thanks, Patrick. I really enjoyed doing it.
Okay, this is a tough decision. Mary Berry or Mary Barry's?
Well, I have to say Mary Barry's. So Mary Barry's is this pub come restaurant in Wexford, near where my, very close to where my family live. And when I say close to where my family live, mum and dad are there. Dad would be there every night of the week. Mum and dad probably there 2 to 3 nights a week.
Lovely.
And it's kind of, it's a lovely pub because, as is tradition in Ireland, like the gastropub thing has kind of become huge over here the last 30 years. But in Ireland, Patrick, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's, it always seems to have been a thing where you will get food in a pub.
Oh, yeah.
Quite often.
Yes.
And especially a pub near the sea. So this is a largely seafood, but they will, I mean, they do like 1,000 covers on a weekend and they will trot out this unbelievable menu. Like, it's all very good local sea because my family live very close to a place called Kilmore Quay, which is a big fishing port. It's a lovely little village, but huge, huge for the fishing industry in the south of Ireland. And so they get all this great local fish and local seafood. But then also just for fun, they'll go, oh yeah, we've also got 3 roasts on today. You're like, you can have turkey and ham. And then, you know, and it's like, you're like, sometimes you just need turkey and ham in your life.
Yeah. I mean,
with 5 tops of potatoes.
Yeah. There's a pub near me. And I remember being in it, one evening, and they said, and we have 5 veg tonight. We have mashed potatoes, we have boiled potatoes, we have champ, and we've got roast potatoes, and we have, and I'm straight face, absolute straight face, which is, just eat more.
An Irish roast isn't an Irish roast without at least 2 sorts of potatoes on the plate. I mean, we conform to stereotype very well.
Exactly. The size of a hurling ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you play any hurling with your old fella when you were over there?
We did a lovely thing. So when they sat down and said, we want to make this show, they were very good with me, the company and RTV, and they said, listen, we definitely want help you curate it. And they said, one episode we're going to do is do a bit about the GAA in Kilkenny. And I was like, I've got to stop you here, lads, because unless you understand Irish history and GAA, you have to understand that as a Wexford man, this is equivalent of saying to a Manchester United fan or a Liverpool fan, and then we're just going to do a really good piece about football in Anfield. Yeah. And then, Patrick, you go, no, that can't happen to me, right? This is the equivalent. So I said, well, if we don't do a piece about hurling in Wexford, I sort of can't show my face in Wexford ever, like not like for a year. Ever again.
I agree.
So we did. We did this wonderful piece about the GAA and its history. And then we talked about, my dad played for Wexford before he emigrated, and he won 3 county championships, which is no mean feat when he was in Ireland, with the Fife Harriers. And we met the kind of modern incarnation of the Wexford captain now, is a guy called Lee Chin, who's I don't know if you interviewed Lee Chin. He's an incredible hurler.
I haven't interviewed him yet. He is an absolutely brilliant hurler. And my great grandfather came from Wexford, so we still have family in Wexford. So when you're from County Down, you know, you down for the football.
You
I always
need a
keep
hurling
an eye.
Team, don't you?
Yeah. I always keep an eye. I didn't realise you were at the 1996
All Ireland final.
Wexford won.
Yeah, against Limerick. Yeah, it was incredible. It was one of the best days of my life. It was just, because I'd sort of, mid-90s, Wexford had this pretty good team, early 90s, mid-90s. They got to a lot of kind of semi-finals and Leinster finals and so forth. So I'd go over with my dad and a friend of my dad's who sadly passed away now, called Tommy Ryan. And Tommy was a classic Irish success story, did really well for himself, moved back, had a lovely house, had a hotel for a while, retired, loved the hurling, as he would call it, coming up for the full session, and was, you know, did really well for himself, was quite a wealthy man, always forgot to book a hotel room in Dublin, so my dad would
sure,
always...
Sure, why would you need it? Why would you need it, Dermot?
My dad would always say to me, listen, is it okay if Tommy bunks in last night? Yeah, sure. So I would literally, I'd sleep on the floor of any hotel we could get in Wexford.
Off the room that you have bought and paid for.
Yeah, well, Tommy was me and my dad have a twin room, and Tommy was
and
in
And that's
one of
why
the
Tommy did very well for himself and had a few quid.
I'll never forget, I woke at one night and I said, about 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and Tommy was about to walk into the wardrobe. I said, Tommy, where are you going? He said, I need to wait. I said, Tommy, that's the wardrobe. Oh, good man, Dan. And then he was off into the bathroom.
I thought that story was going to finish. Oh, good man, Dermot, and just went into the wardrobe. And had a pee. Look, we got to talk about the book Spy Fox and Agent Feathers.
Yes.
This is a different direction because we had Toto the Ninja Cat with the Wings of Glory.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the Spy Fox.
So it's a Second World War kids adventure book, set during the Second World War. And it's the premise is that animals are fighting on our behalf. So we don't know this. So the first book was called Wings of Glory, and that was about, Swifts signing up to fight in the Battle of Britain for the Royal Bird Force, not the RAF, the RBF. Yeah.
I love the way that you've pivoted straight from Irish hurling into the RAF, Dermot. you're a man of many talents. Exactly.
And then, so the second book, I thought, well, I really want to write something about espionage and who are the best animals for espionage. And of course, would be the foxes. So I have this incredible fox, the spy of his generation, really, with one flaw. In the Second World War, in my world, animals aren't allowed to kill each other. So there's a moratorium. So they end up having to eat, like, basically tin fish shipped in from South Africa. And he cannot stop killing chickens. So they have to lock him up. So 3 years into the war, he's kind of the finest spy of his generation is languishing in jail. And then
Steve McQueen in The Great
Escape
with a baseball glove.
And then the animal prime minister comes to him, Bertie Bulldog, and says, listen, we need you for this mission. We've uncovered the German plans for the defense of Europe. But we need an animal to go in, break in, steal these, decipher them, put them back without the Germans ever knowing where they were gone. He said, well, of course I can do it, but kind of Dirty Dozen style. But I'll need a codebreaker. And they say, no problem. In from Bletchley Park walks Gertrude Featherhorn, the chicken, who he immediately wants to eat. And then they end up getting on pretty well and saving the world.
I mean, what's not to love?
Yeah, exactly.
What's not to love? How long did it take you to write this book?
I'm doing another Toto book this year. What I try and do is do last sort of chunk of the year. Normally I'll get up early 3-4 mornings of the week, and then I'll work all morning and then bash it out.
Now, what's early for you, Dermot? I'm trying to work out.
Well, what was early and what is early?
That's why I'm asking the question.
Different things. So now early is 5 because regular is 6:30.
Yes.
But get him off to school because he's 4 now. So, and then after school run, tick, 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 ding, old fashioned typewriter.
I would love the fact. I'm just picturing you in your house.
It's more like this,
which I pass ding, every day.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, we live near each other. We're neighbours.
Well, you say that. That house isn't finished yet. I mean, it's... Who knows
just
when...
Just for any listeners here, whenever I want to gaslight Patrick and I run past his house, I literally get my phone out and I record the clanging of one hammer of a builder that's kind of chipping away at something. I'm like, in by Christmas, mate.
And the thing that I don't tell Dermot is the thing that Dermot that there is no builder in the house. That's me.
It's just a recorder.
That is, yeah, a recorder of all of those things. Okay, before we let you go, are Arsenal going to win the league?
I think we are. I'm pretty sanguine. I was talking to Rummish about this earlier on and said, he was like, how do you feel about last weekend? And I just went, you know what? You have to keep optimistic. And so you have to look at that cup half full. And cup half full is, we went to Manchester City, we went 2-1 up, we went 10 men down, and we held on for a draw. That's a win. Apart from the fact it's a draw. But it's a moral win. Like, it's good for the club. You have to, like, it's not an opportunity lost. You have to look at it like that. Does that make any sense?
No, but what I love about it is that...
The draw is the win. That's the new mentality. The draw is the win.
I love the fact that normally whenever I talk to you about Arsenal, and you do that thing, you go, I don't know, I mean, you know... But the fact that you've gone confident in this, we'll just clip this up, and it means can come back on the show. And obviously, Arsenal now know the dark arts.
Whatever that is, that's going up against like one of the best two teams in Europe over the last 5 years, and going 2-1 up, and then getting a man sent off. If that's holding on for however long to do whatever you can, then that's I didn't see any dark arts. I just saw us defending a lot.
You're listening to 606. Yeah. Our caller is Dermot, the Arsenal fan.
Let's get someone angry on. Get Sutton and Savage to shout at each other.
There you go. Look, thank you so much for nipping over and seeing us, Dermot.
Pleasure.
T Taste of Ireland. You can watch that on ITVX and the STV player. Dermot's new kids book, Spy Fox and Agent Feathers, is out now. There's a Toto the Ninja Cat book coming your way, and Arsenal are going to win the league.
Might win the league, but I'm confident.
See, he's reversed out of that now. He's reversed out of that. Hang on. Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, what the hell? I never. Let's go all in. Yeah.
All
not?
In.
Why not?
Amazing. Okay. Lots of love, fella. I will
you
see
too,
you
Pat.
Very, very soon.
Thank
it's
you,
time
mate.
To open the Five Live Lounge. It is time for the Five Live Lounge. The credible sound of Dermot O'Leary with the credible sound of music. It feels like Radio 2. 15 years ago on a Saturday afternoon, my final guest is a Mercury Prize nominated singer-songwriter from Ireland. Her sixth studio album entitled Blind Faith was released yesterday. But she's here today to sing the songs that you're chanting from the terraces. Thankfully, not all of them. Good morning, Gemma Hayes. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Good morning, Patrick.
We've had a very Irish morning here. We've got yourself on. We've Dermot on as well. Were you having a wee chat with Dermot, or did your paths cross when you were heading in there?
Yeah, I was just saying from outside the door, I could hear him grunting. Why was he grunting?
I mean, that's kind of what he does sometimes. Yeah. It's kind of it's basically how Dermot lets you know he's happy with how things with how things have gone. You are not alone this morning. Tell us who you've brought with you.
So I've brought my beautiful sidekick Aina. So she's on violin, pizzicato violin, and vocals.
You do realise I don't think we've had a violin on this segment in all of the time that we've been doing it. There is a danger that you may raise this above the musical standard we normally have. How do you feel about that?
No pressure, Aina, right?
I can only apologise.
I can only apologise in advance. So look, tell us a little bit about the album Blind Faith. It was released yesterday.
Yeah, it was. And I'm playing a show tonight at the Union Chapel, and it's all just bonkers. I've been working on this album for on and off for years. Two small kids, so they were eating my homework quite a lot.
What age are the kids?
Well, they're 8 and 10 now.
Yeah.
So I'm only allowed out of the house in the past couple of years. So yeah, it's all come together and it's finally out there in the world and I'm very, very happy.
So talk to me about how big the smile on your face is going to be tonight when you know that someone's looking after those beautiful kids and you're about to walk on stage at one of the greatest music venues in the world, Union Chapel.
Yeah. Well, look, they're in good hands, you know, they're with Stewie, my other half.
I love the fact that you're saying that with a degree of confidence you don't believe in yourself.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be fed. I know they'll be fed. They may not be washed, but that's okay.
That's fine. I mean, are you guys a wash them every night family, or
no.
Or have you gone 1970s, one bath a week, and both of them go into the same bath?
Do you know, this is really fun. I've always been a one bather, or like
yeah.
a one bath a week. I don't understand this bathing every night. You know,
there you
it's
go.
Too much effort.
Not only brilliant music, but life tips from Gemma Hayes. This is taking a turn. No, none of us thought. So look, the single is Another Love.
Yeah.
That was released last month with Paul Noonan.
That's right. You know, I don't have another love. I only have my husband. It's only a song. But it was great fun to write it and sing it with Paul Noonan, who's very handsome, just by the way.
Everything was going well there. I love the fact that you said there is no other love and it's just a song. He's
yeah.
very handsome, just in another...
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
In addition.
Yeah.
an addition. Okay, so look, let's talk football. Any interest at all?
I have had no interest in my life until my boy came along, and Max is an obsessive Man United fan.
Like my boy?
Yeah, which is, you know, it was pretty intense there because my husband got tickets for the FA Cup final. And he brought Max along, but the only problem was it was on the Man City side. Yeah, and so my husband said to him, look, just don't clap, don't look happy. You're not allowed to chant. And I was freaking out. I went online and actually went on to like Reddit and was saying like, what are the chances that they'll get beaten up or, you know, have a bad experience? And the consensus was it just depends on how much alcohol has been consumed and who you're sitting beside. But they had a great time.
But the fact that your husband and your son didn't have any alcohol meant that that passed off peacefully.
Exactly. They weren't going to cause any problems, you know. But when my boy was getting into the cab to go to the airport, he actually jumped out and ran over to me and said, but what if they can tell by looking in my eyes? What if they can just tell that I'm a Man United fan? So I was like, it's okay. I actually felt like he was going off to war. That he came back a man, left a boy, came back a man.
He came back a man with the victory under his belt. So look, you're going to be playing in the Five Live Lounge today. First up, we have this for Villa fans. They're playing Ipswich Town tomorrow. This is a chant based on this.
She look good. She look fine. She look good. She look fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me singing. Holding my hand.
Villa fans have taken this. They've turned it into a song for their goal scoring machine, John Duran. And here it is, performed by the magnificent Gemma Hayes.
Do a diddy diddy dum diddy do. Running past defender, scoring one or two. It looks good.
Looks good.
It looks fine.
Looks fine.
John Duran on my mind, and he's feeling number nine. Singing do a diddy diddy dum diddy do.
What a tease that was. The whole thing was getting going. You had the harmony. We were all getting the party started. You went, that's your lot. That's your lot on that one, kids. Your next dance coming up shortly. So look, next up, this is a request for Crystal Palace fans. Simon sent this to us on email. They're away today at Everton at 3 o'clock, and this is a chant based on this school disco classic.
Saturday night, I feel the air is getting hot. Like it, baby. I'll make you mine, you know I'll take you to the top. I'll drive you crazy.
I love the fact that Gemma has decided to take this on. This you will clearly not hear anything like this in Union Chapel tonight. Palace fans have turned this into a song for Ibra Eze, and you might hear this at Goodison. But first, here it is performed by Gemma Hayes.
Saturday night and I like the way you move. Ever easy. It's party time when he plays in red and blue. Ever easy. Saturday night and I like the way you move. Ever easy. It's party time when he plays in red and blue. Ever easy.
I mean, there you go. Gemma, thank you so, so much for coming in. So you're doing a few dates. You're doing, it's Union Chapel in London tonight. Then where are you off to tomorrow?
And then we're heading to the Old Woolen place.
The Old Leeds. Woolen in Leeds.
Yes. And then back home.
And you've got a gig in Dublin next month.
Yes, I do. I've got two shows with Lisa Hannigan and Paul Noonan in the new Balbriggan Centre. And that's, yeah, two nights. And then lots of little shows scattered around the for the rest of the year, and that'll all be on my website, gemmahayes.com.
And this is the look. There's a smile on the face. So now the kids are a little bit more up. Are you going to be doing bigger tours and more gigs? Is this the start of it all?
Do you know, I really hope so. I just need to get them on board. You know, they last about a half a gig and then they start wanting phones. I thought I would be this massive inspiration, but no, they're slightly embarrassed by what I do. But they're going to be my back line, my roadie, you know. Just
whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
Okay, look, thank you so much to Gemma. You can check out her new album, Blind Faith. That was released yesterday. Thank you so much to Dermot O'Leary. Thank you to Jessica Knappett, still smiling about Theo Fennell and my diamond encrusted cross. To Pixie Lott today, who popped in and did so well playing Traitors. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Josh Whittacombe will be in the chair for Fight and Talk at 11. Chappers then will bring in you all the football, all the updates from 12. Deno, who we spoke to earlier on, and John Murray will feature in all of that. Ronan Kemp will be looking after the show next Saturday. Up next, it is Fight and Talk, all after the news and sport at 11.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
And with the BBC News on 5 Live, I'm Giuliano Casaday. The breaking news this hour is the Israeli military says it's killed the leader of Hezbollah in a powerful strike on the Iranian-backed group's headquarters in Beirut yesterday. Hassan Nasrallah led the group for more than three decades. In a statement, the Israeli military said he was behind what it called the murder of many Israeli civilians and soldiers and the planning of thousands of terrorist attacks. Speaking after the Israeli military announcement, the country's chief army officer, Lieutenant General Herzi Halevi, issued this warning.
This is not the end of our toolbox. It must be very clear there are more tools. And the message is simple. Anyone who threatens the citizens of Israel, we will know how to reach them in the north, in the south, and also in places more distant.
Well, as I said before, Hassan Nasrallah is a hugely significant figure in the politics of the Middle East. Hezbollah is yet to confirm that he has died. Our correspondent Anna Foster is in Beirut for us.
Hassan Nasrallah is on a different level. He is this totemic figure within Hezbollah, you know, really important figure, the face of the organisation. So he has been a big target for them. If they have successfully killed him, that will be seen in Israel as a huge success. It will be seen by Hezbollah supporters in Lebanon as a huge blow, and equally in Iran. What we were seeing coming out of Iran last night was also interesting, because the first sort of messaging was that he was fine, he was well and safe. But that sort of started to just change very slightly. And they were saying, well, you know, any organization that has a leader has somebody in place ready to take over. And then we've had this sort of period, more than 12 hours now, of silence from Hezbollah, from Iran. No confirmation one way or another. So that, I think, will be the key. And we obviously continue to watch and wait for some kind of statement so we can work out exactly what the result was in that case of the strike last night. But of course, we know that from a civilian perspective, the result was that many people were wounded, and we expect to hear many more than the current death toll of six have been killed.
Elsewhere.